Hello and welcome to another episode of Character Reveal. It's the show where we reveal people's character, whatever that means. As always, I am your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, anywhere you want to find me. And I am joined once again by my jolly co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Absolutely. I am Stephanie. I am Captain Steph on Twitter. I am Snowqueer on Tumblr. And we are joined once again by a lovely guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
So my name is Riley, and I'm on Twitter as not Riley. It's Kaleri, which is a bit different, but...
Hey, that's cool. So how are you doing today, Riley?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Today's been the least awful day so far this week, which is saying something.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good as well. You know, things are going well. I'm about to get a non-exploding phone tomorrow. Like, I'm pretty much on top of the world, if you were to ask. So, Riley, what's the cool thing that you do that you're known for?
So now I'm on a podcast with one of my friends, Pam. We're the Media Mavens podcast, so that's probably where a lot of people know me from. And before that, I actually used to have a pretty decent-sized WoW presence. So I had a blog, and I wrote about a bunch of stuff, and yeah.
Oh, very cool. So how'd you transfer from blogging about World of Warcraft to doing a show like Media Mavens?
A lot of that kind of came from just growing up a bit. Like, when I started playing WoW, I was, 18, 19, and then after I got out of university, I didn't really have any time for World of Warcraft anymore, so...
I can imagine that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And then just... last year, well, the beginning of this year, I guess, Pam and I kind of had the same idea to get a podcast started after one of our favorite podcasts ended, and that was Justice Points.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so they had a pretty big influence on the both of us there.
Oh, very cool. And for those who don't know, what is Media Mavens about? What kind of, what's your show?
We kind of do like a little bit of everything. We try to have guests on every other week. And if there is no guests, then it's just Pam and I. And we talk about basically any kind of media that we're interested in that week or that we've been interested in or playing or watching or listening to. So that's like games. And that's like digital or like physical, and then not so much music, but like podcasts, and like books and stuff that we've read, and movies and TV shows too.
Cool. And then you do a second segment where you kind of get more in-depth discussion about things. Is that all your episodes?
Yeah. I think they all kind of follow the same format, except for the ones where it's just Pam and I, and it's just us kind of talking about whatever.
Oh, yeah. It seems like hosty episodes are kind of a staple of guest-focused shows. All the ones that I follow that are guest-based, you know, ours, yours. The biggest one I know would be the Nerdist. Anytime they don't have a guest or they just feel like catching up, they kind of do a hosty episode, and those are kind of fun. You get to catch up. It feels a little bit more relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really the genesis of trying to get a show where you did a little bit more of a deep dive onto a specific property or show. Like with the episode that I was on, that was here's a plug for Media Mavens. Go listen to it. It was cool. We talked a lot about Steven Universe, and I don't hear too many shows do that kind of format. So is that something that Justice Points did? Is that something that you kind of came up with?
I think it was very inspired by Justice Points. They primarily focused on video games, and that was their main, segment every podcast episode. So for us, Pam is a big movie buff, and she plays a lot of different games than I do. So we kind of thought maybe our two different, perspectives would be good for talking about, you know, it's weird because there's not a lot of podcasts that are just women talking about, like, just random shit that they've done lately. So we were like, well, we can give it a shot and see if that if it works out. So,
well, yeah, that definitely is an underrepresented space in podcasting or any media, really. It kind of seems like if you're in a marginalized group, whether it's people of color or women, whatever it would be, it's your show has to be very laser focused. Whereas if it's more of like white dude shows, they can kind of be a little bit more free form with it. So it's nice to see some of us kind of jumping into that territory too.
Yeah.
Has there been anything that's is that kind of something you focus on a lot in your show, is sort of representation for women, or is that just kind of something that's an underlying meaning to it?
It's kind of underlying. I think that the title of, like, the, not the title, but the name of the podcast kind of lends itself to being a little bit more feminine. So we've got that kind of going right off the bat. And we're doing our best to invite a really diverse group of people onto the show. It's important to us that, you know, we kind of use what we have to promote other people and then kind of educate ourselves whenever we can. So it's been good that way too.
Yeah, that's definitely been something we've had the good luck and fortune. Yes. Words. That's why we have a words person and a maths person, so we can get both angles. We've had the fortune to have a lot of kind of diverse people in our group as well. Different sexualities, different genders. It's very nice to see that there's a commonality between everybody. So definitely had some chances to educate ourselves and maybe boost some voices if we can.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. There's a lot of different ground to cover. We can go a lot of different ways. So you said Pam's a movie buff. You're not so much really into movies or more games yourself, or?
I kind of do, like, definitely more games. And I'm trying to think, like, I don't know. Like, I think the main difference is that she does a lot of, like, retro game stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's, like, really analytical, which is good because I'm kind of not. I just kind of, like, sit there while she talks about stuff, and I'm like, wow, you sound so smart.
Okay, so you're not as much of an analytical person. Then what kind of way would you describe yourself then?
Probably trying to give, like, a one word kind of way to put it.
You can use more than one word if you choose to.
All right, yeah, maybe I'll do that. No. I kind of go like with my gut a lot of the time.
Okay.
I feel like, I don't know if it's true, but I feel like I'm, like, a little bit of an empath when it comes to the content that I enjoy. So a little more, you know, like, in the feels kind of.
I don't really understand that.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of in the feels kind of media love over on this side. But another strength that we have on our side too is kind of, we have a diverse team, as much as you can have with two people, I suppose. But
check as many boxes as we can with two people.
I think we could probably cover one or two more. Team same sexuality, go us, we're so cool. Is that something that you found yourself struggling with, anything like that, just getting used to different diversity, or are you pretty open to that?
I think now I am. I didn't really used to be, like, in high school. Actually, the internet and Twitter was a big help for this, seeing so many different people and, like, viewpoints, and getting, like, seeing that input and just listening has really helped me a lot. So
yeah, I think that first of all, I think everyone's kind of a shithead in high school.
Yeah.
I was a terrible person in high school, and I look at, like, I've talked about this with other guests, but I look at like teens on Tumblr now, and, like, their very strong grasp of, like, feminist politics and stuff, and I'm like, who are you? When I was in high school, I couldn't string two words together that weren't offensive to someone.
God, yeah. Where was Tumblr when I was growing up?
It was MySpace forums, I guess.
Oh, God.
That's it's funny looking at the younger crowd on Tumblr, which that's painful to say the younger crowd and it not be a couple years younger than me, but they still have levels of being jackasses and levels of being problematic, but their hearts are more in the right place than ours. And even just seeing that is, it's kind of incredible to see. I'm happy that there's a lot less. Well, maybe there's not a lot less. I think there's just more people that are aware of it, because I think there's a lot of teenagers and people our age that are still super hardcore jackasses. We see that all the time, but I think there's just more access to the people who do want to get a little bit better, and that's totally nice to see. But Twitter's been good for me as well, trying to find, well, not trying to find, but just being experienced to a lot more things. Like, I was born into male privilege, go me, yay. So I never really had to think too critically about feminism or the things that affect other people. It just kind of seemed like, oh, it's not that serious, you guys. It's, come on, just relax, until you start hearing people's stories and seeing discussions about it that aren't just one word things. I guess just there wasn't as much social media, I guess. But you start to say, hey, you know what? Maybe if a lot of people are saying the same thing, that's not proof that it's true, but maybe all these people have the same thought pattern to a degree for a reason. So if you just start listening and paying attention to things, you start to realize, hey, maybe I don't have the full life experience of every human on this planet. Maybe I can learn something.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. So you do play a good bit of games. You said any games you're playing right now? Well, not at this moment, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm playing games right now.
Oh, gosh.
Hello, I'm back.
How are you? Yeah, I saw you disappear and I was like, oh.
I didn't even see that. We just kind of... I kind of just stumbled on without you. That's
oh, well, I'm glad you kept going. I was like, it went silent for a second, and I was like, oh, I guess they had nothing to say in response.
Well, there was a second of silence, so that's the weird thing about the internet. There could be a natural awkward pause, and you're like, oh, no, that's fine. And it's like, no, somebody dropped off. They're gone.
Well, I kept recording the whole time like a trooper, so... You'll just have,
did you
like,
say anything while you were gone?
there might be a curse word in there, but...
Well, it's that kind of podcast, so hopefully I'll leave it in. Nah, I don't know if you can.
Just a random curse word in the middle of whatever you guys were talking about.
But yeah, we were just talking about growing up from... So yeah, we were talking about the same thing. We were talking about growing up because of Twitter and whatnot. But then I asked Riley what games are being played right now.
Cool.
I jumped back into WoW for, like, a night, so...
Hey, no judgment from me.
Well, they have their new Halloween event, so I had to go check it out. And so far, like, it looks the same, but I didn't really get to stay on and look at it. But you can get, like, witch hats, and I want a witch hat for my character, so...
That's fair.
That. Yeah.
I'd love to have a witch hat.
Yeah, really, like, I want them all. I jumped back into Overwatch as well, just doing more, like, quick match stuff.
Was that also for the Halloween?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, kind of on an Overwatch kick lately, where...
I can sympathize.
Like, yeah, like, I get home and I log in and I play Overwatch for, like, 6 hours and then I go to bed.
It's so addictive.
It is.
Do you play a lot of shooters, or is this kind of one that you're getting into?
No, I don't normally. Overwatch is kind of the first, like, team shooter that I've ever really played and had any interest in playing.
Okay, well, if I might be so bold to ask, and please let me know if this is overstepping bounds or anything, I've noticed a lot more women and pretty much non-cisgendered men jumping into Overwatch. And that's very refreshing, and I'm glad it's happening, but it is a little bit curious to me. Is there any reason why this one kind of caught your eye so much?
Well, I think, first, it's Blizzard, and I've been playing Blizzard games for over 10 years, so, you know, whenever they have a new project, I usually check it out anyway. But this one, when they did the announcement at BlizzCon, and the, like, I remember I was sitting in the audience and I remember watching this, like, it looks like a Pixar short almost.
Yeah.
And there were two like women heroes, and then there was two, one was Winston, who's the gorilla, and then the other one was Reaper. Seeing two of the characters that were women was really big, especially for Blizzard. Like, they're not, you know, they could have a better track record with representation for sure. So that was definitely kind of, like a big first step, for me, getting into it. And then they just started releasing all of the heroes that have like different body types and their skin colors are different. And it was like, Blizzard, where did this all come from? Where have you been hiding it from me?
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they had all those different animals of different colors. They're like, wait a minute. People come in different colors.
Surprise.
It is nice to see a game where, you know, not only can you be white humans, you can also be robots and gorillas and purple people, but there's also brown people and Asian people and Indian people and black people and white people from different countries. It is very nice. And then someone's like, you can be a black DJ, and I'm like, damn right I could be a black DJ. So that pulled me in. Yeah, I was just wondering about that because I see so much fan art and just love in the community, and I'm like, wait a minute, Call of Duty didn't get this, Battlefield didn't get this, Halo didn't get this, Splatoon sort of did. I'm like, I think there might be a through line here, but I'm not the expert, so I figured I'd ask.
Yeah, that's really cool. Big part of it.
Hey, Steph, have you seen the shorts for Overwatch? Considering how much I talk about it, I'm not sure if I ever asked you if you have.
I have not seen the shorts. Although I read a pharmacy fanfic last night. I don't know.
Also great.
I didn't even know that Mercy's real name was Angela until, or Angela, I guess, and she's German, since I read it, and I was like, what am I doing? And
Dr. Ziegler reporting for duty. Yeah, that's a big ship, and I appreciate that their portmanteau ship name happens to be kind of a pun, and if anyone's ever listened to this show or met me, it's kind of my thing. You know, lesbians are pretty cool, don't get me wrong, but puns? That's going to bring me in really quickly. But I've noticed, yeah, this fan base is, I don't know what percentage of the fan base is queer to some extent, but I know that the ships to this fan base are 80% queer.
Yeah.
It's I approve of all that.
Did either of you read, I think it was Apple Cider Mage or Apple Cider Witch on Twitter? She wrote an article that was basically saying why is the Overwatch fandom so, like, why are they shipping like Femslash so much in this game?
Yeah.
I don't know if have you read it?
I haven't read it, but I'd be really interested to read it, actually. I gave a panel once on why there was so little Femslash in the world.
And I can, I'll link it on Twitter to you guys.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. I think I saw it. I agreed with it for the most part. It was a good article. It basically boiled down to, from what I could tell, and correct me if I'm misremembering something, that a lot of it came to, there actually were women here to be shipped with each other.
I feel like that's actually important... some choice. Like, that was one of the things that came up in my while I was doing research for my panel, was that, like, there aren't many fandoms that have enough women who aren't related to ship with each other. Like, even like Orphan Black is probably the series I can think of that has the most, like, main female characters, but they're all clones of each other, and so it's like, is this incest? I don't know.
I'm gonna give a hard yes on that.
On clone incest.
Well, actually, do you consider clones to be brother and sister?
Yeah, is it masturbation or is it incest? Like,
it depends on how magical you make. If you take it magical, it's just yourself. If you take it scientific, then it's gonna have to be incest to some degree. So, you know, if you used a magic wand, tote's okay, go ahead and do it. If you used science, don't do it.
I'm glad we came to that important decision.
You heard it here. The authority of the masturbation versus incest debate has been put to rest by yours truly, Dr. Brother Dom. And it's like a superhero doctor, not a PhD doctor or an MD doctor, so No shade to Harley Quinn. But I do recommend you watch those shorts, Steph. They work really well, even if you have no idea about the game, mostly because there's no story in the game, so you'll know as much as everybody else knows.
Yeah. The like, none of the character lore or anything is in the game itself. Like, you can learn all about the characters and everything through all of the extra content that Blizzard has done.
Which is a really weird way to do video game story, because it's like, this is an interactive medium. You could tell great stories. Yeah, great. Put them on the internet.
Make them fight each other. It's cool.
Yeah. The game is not actually canon. Out of everything about this game, the one thing that's not canon is the actual product you had to pay money to get.
Yeah.
I find immense humor in that. But it's also the first game I've seen that I can remember ever that had an older female character, and it was a brown character to boot, but like, hey, she's like in her 60s and that's cool. She fights. It's great.
Yeah.
Do you tend to see, in discussing your show, do you see a lot of representation? Do you see more representation in any specific medium, like comics versus games versus movies, or is it all kind of the same, or
like on our show, like that we talk about, or
I guess just through quote unquote through the travels of your show, have you seen?
I think probably mostly video games, followed by TV shows and movies.
Okay, and then putting comic books like towards the bottom?
Yeah, I think I talked about comic books once, maybe, as like what I had been doing. So it got a brief mention, but there was some there.
It's interesting to look at comics, like the indie space is really doing some interesting things with representation, concepts, whereas the big two are like, hey, what if we made this 15-year-old sexy?
Oh, gosh. I saw that today on Twitter.
I know.
That was such a... It was a facepalm moment, because I didn't see so much anger as it was like, we're still doing this, huh? Like, is this still a thing?
Fantastic. Yeah, it's just like disappointment. Like, lots and lots of disappointment.
But I have seen a lot of... I mean, obviously, there's a lot of nonsense and bigotry and sexism being flooded into people's mentions, but I do see some relatively decent conversation about how it's, like, kind of a tricky minefield to navigate, and I was like, holy shit, there's nuance on the internet. Who would have ever thunk that? Well, that's pretty cool. Are you, besides the two Blizzard games, are you playing anything right now? Or looking forward to anything?
All right, so I'm also playing a phone game, called Mystic Messenger.
I've heard of it.
It's pretty fun. It's a little slow, but it's like basically you like the premise is that you've downloaded this app off of the like app store, and you open it up and it's actually like a messenger app instead of a game that you thought it was going to be. And then you start getting messages from all the characters, and they start, like, messaging you back, and they can even, like, give you phone calls and text messages, and the big thing is that you've been invited to their, like, secret organization because you found this app and were directed to a secret location by a mystery person. And you have to kind of, like, direct a party, which is what I've been doing so far, and also like flirting with anime boys.
That gives me like strong Orin High School Host Club vibes. I mean, I've only seen like the first few episodes, but that sounds exactly like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's the only problem is that some of the text conversations, they happen at like set times, so there are some that happen like right after midnight, and there's other ones that happen at like 3 in the morning. So I set an alarm for 3:01 and I felt really bad about waking up at 3 in the morning for like a virtual text conversation.
You're dedication.
Yeah, I'm hooked. I'm thoroughly hooked.
You're neither better nor worse than the people who did that to harvest their crops in Farmville.
Yep. Thank you. That makes me feel a little better.
I think that firmly puts you in the place of hardcore gamer, because I think if you set anything at all to play video games, and this is not a disparaging remark, that puts you in the hardcore, which I have never scheduled anything because I am lazy. It's not out of lack of wanting to. We had a friend who was playing WoW one summer, like to a disturbing degree. And we're like, hey, buddy, you want to come out with us? He's like, I can't. I got a raid tonight. And we're like, okay. So not knowing how the game works, I assumed there won't be a raid every night. I assumed wrong.
False.
One day we're like, hey, we're going to go to McDonald's because our math teacher's doing like a charity thing. He's like, okay, cool. I just got to be home by 7. And I'm like, what's at 7? He's like, a raid. I'm like, okay, we can do that. Yep. It'll make us. So I was like, dude, you're doing the thing. If you're scheduling things, you are more motivated than me. And I commend anyone who does that. So like, what's the tone of this game? Is it a little bit more like, is it goofy or?
So far, it's like a little goofier. I've heard that it gets like kind of a little more like sexy later. So I'm not really sure like what to expect from it.
So does it kind of fall more towards visual novel or dating sim at all?
Oh, definitely. Just... Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you play a lot of dating sims or visual novels?
Do BioWare games count as dating sims?
Let me think. Yeah, I think they do.
I don't think I've played like the traditional dating sims as much, but any game that's got like a good romance story. I mean, they're like cool. A dirty sheet.
Wait, I've never heard that phrase before.
Oh, really? So it's like in the laundry, like in there, like a dirty sheet.
Oh, dirty sheet. I thought she said sheep.
I'm like, shitty ass. That would change it a little bit.
Me too. I was like, what kind of weird animal is this?
What are they doing up in Canada? What
really likes romance sims. Like,
that's the spinoff to Hat of a Boyfriend. You're sheep instead.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I've played Hat of a Boyfriend, so there's one.
That's a dating sim, kind of, right?
Yeah,
it's not kind of.
It definitely is, yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable speaking to it because I never booted it up. I have the expansion pack for it because it came in a Humble Bundle, but I feel weird playing the holiday one without playing the original. Oh. And so it's just kind of sitting there.
Time's ticking, Dom.
Valentine's Day special.
Yeah.
I've never played a dating sim. I watched I watched one of the trials on Phoenix Run on YouTube, and it was just dragging on and on. I'm like, how do people play this? But I haven't played a dating sim since like those really junky ass Newgrounds games that were basically just to try to see naked women. But I realized this is really difficult. Like, I gotta like make choices and like play fighting mini games. So I never saw the naked women. I just got mad at dating sims.
Why can't I see the naked ladies already?
Well, it seems odd. Like, as a 14-year-old on Newgrounds, you're thinking.
They're forcing you to think.
Yeah.
It just seems weird that they put like, they're like, this is definitely like a game to objectify women. I'm like, okay, that's not great, but whatever. I'm a young kid who doesn't know better yet. P.S. I got better later. But they're like, but we're not going to take the easy way out. No. We're legitimate developers. There's going to be a solid game here that you're going to have to work. And I was like, I think you tricked me into playing your game. It was well made and difficult. And now I'm going to go play some Infinite Runner game instead. That is something that I see in a lot of games. So kind of going back to Overwatch to a degree and a lot of other games, it seems like over-sexualization in games is not gone at all, but it's definitely on the decline. Does it seem like that to you too as well? Or is that just something I'm seeing from the games I'm playing? Because I'd say it was in comics, but we already blew that up.
Yeah.
I feel like it's arguably on the decline, but it's a very, very, like, minimal decline. Like, the angle is almost flat, but it's starting. They're trying.
Okay. It's like people's hearts are in the right place, but they don't want to commit to it because they're afraid they'll lose, like, the 13-year-old purchase, but I don't think they will.
I think that it's hard, too, to look at games or comics as like a monolith, because like if you look at even within companies, like Marvel has this whole mess with Riri Williams, but like Moon Girl or Miss Marvel or like they have other female characters who have never been drawn that way.
That's actually an interesting point that I'd like to wonder what happened there.
And someone argued that it was because like those two books specifically have female editors on staff, or female writing team.
Yeah.
So they're not approving this kind of stuff. I mean, like even like Dynamite is a company that's kind of stereotypically like the Cheesecake Company. Like they have Vampirella and like Deja Thoris and Red Sonja. And Red Sonja, I've been reading Red Sonja for like 3 years now because they've gotten excellent female writers to write her, and she's like the stereotypical chainmail bikini babe. But when she's being written well, like you can justify pretty much anything with good writing, and she's not being like objectified.
Okay. Well, I guess it's good to see that there's some progress, even if it's 1% progress. It's better than zero.
Yeah, and I feel like the same thing probably stands true for games, which I can't speak to as much, but, like, you think like, different companies, like, Naughty Dog is less likely to make a game that has, like, floppy titties than, like, Rockstar or something. I don't know.
Team Ninja is the king of that. I think that's in their mission statement, if we're being honest. But they tend to catch less flack for it because they openly admit, like, guys, we love breasts, so we're going to put physics in the game. And people are like, you're not doing a great thing, but you're not lying about it. You're not giving us she breathes through her skin lies. So we'll excuse this because this is exactly what it's supposed to be, so fine.
It's exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah, I was sad because I really liked Dead or Alive 4 as a fighting game. Maybe it's because the first game my brother and I got for Xbox 360, so I had a fondness for it. But I was like, guys, no, look past, like, the stupid sexualization. There's a cool game here. It's, like, it's kind of broken, but it's all right. And everyone told me I was dumb, so.
Well.
There go those dreams. So, I think I saw that you were on stream the other day, Riley. Is that true? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Just make sure I didn't misremember. I misremember stuff all the time. Do you do a lot of streaming?
I do like a little, every once in a while. I actually, so Forge, is kind of like a new streaming platform.
Okay.
It used to be, like just an easy way to record and upload your gameplay, like highlights and stuff. So I used it a lot, for playing like Overwatch. They actually were approaching a bunch of people about signing on to stream and like become a partner with Forge.
Oh,
so
cool.
I actually signed the contract today, so I'm an official partner and I'm gonna be streaming a lot more. Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome. So you're kind of like one of the pioneers of this in a sense.
Yeah, of the platform itself. Yeah.
Cool. We have to come support you and just check that out a little bit. You know, want to support cool people doing cool things. It's kind of an obvious question, so forgive me on this, but how's it different from Twitch?
I don't know, either of you ever streamed on Twitch before?
I have not.
Once or twice.
Okay. So Twitch, you kind of have to have an outside like application to be able to record the game, or not record it, but stream the game to your channel. So, like, a lot of people use OBS or XSplit, I think, is the other one.
Right.
So with Forge, all of that technology is in the app itself. You load up Forge, load up your game, and then the stream section on the Forge app has, you can, like, turn on your webcam and reposition it wherever you want to. In that, and then you can pick the game or the application you're going to be streaming right in the app itself, and then you just hit start streaming, and that's it.
Oh, it's that sounds smooth.
Really, really easy. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I'll have to give that a shot. I want to do like a charity stream later this year. That might be the way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. And have you found like a decent amount of viewership over there?
There's definitely a lot less. And when I was talking to one of the reps, She was saying that they're kind of doing a soft launch right now, and then eventually they're going to do like a big announcement and like promoting of streamers. And she was saying, you know we might not end up being as big as Twitch, but you know, we just wanted to offer an alternative. So right now there's not a lot, but I think, I don't know, got pretty good hopes for it. So
it sounds good. I think people, you know, despite how massive Twitch is, and I think a lot of people do like it as a concept, I think gaming people are kind of a counterculture to some degree, and I think everybody wants an alternative just in case, you know, especially with all the acquisitions happening, and you know, Twitch is getting a little bit powerful and they're doing some weird stuff. Like, I think they streamed a debate at one point, so it's just nice to have options.
Yeah, they are kind of exploding, especially like with the new Amazon, like the Prime thing, Twitch Prime.
What's that?
I saw about that.
Yeah, so you link your Amazon Prime account with Twitch, and you get, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like some Hearthstone stuff, some skins in Smite or something, and then you get a free subscription to use for whatever streamer you want. So you just go to their channel and there's an option to subscribe with this Twitch Prime. So they still get the same amount of money, but you don't have to like do your own subscription for them. You just do it through like the Amazon Prime thing that you have.
That's interesting. That is definitely an interesting prospect. I'll have to check that out and just look a little bit about that. They're doing a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Right now we're I am blissfully skipping a presidential debate, the final one to record this, and I think that I made the right decision. But can either of you imagine what the comments would be like on a gaming website streaming this presidential debate?
Oh my god.
No.
Honestly, like, being here and recording was the right choice, but no offense to either of you, like, scrubbing my floors would also have been the right choice instead of watching the debate, like, cleaning my cat's litter box. Like, anything else. Like...
Yeah, I am not looking forward to the storm of, like, replies and retweets and messages from, like, various group texts about it, because it's like, I can kind of predict what we're all going to say. Because there's not a whole lot of people that are undecided in their opinions right now, you know.
Yeah, you guys have got a pretty busy next couple of weeks ahead of you, don't you?
You would like think
election stuff, or I don't know how it works.
So, well, maybe there's a lot more going on. I'm kind of removed from the process. I just know that we're voting on the 8th.
The 8th. Please go vote on the 8th. I've already voted, because I'm not going to be, I'm voting from a different state than I am registered in, so I had to send in like a paper ballot, but please go vote on the 8th.
Yeah, I'm going to. I thought I had to do absentee, but we're not going to actually be, I'm not going to be on vacation that week. So yeah, I literally, so someone approached me on the street, which is something people do around election times, like, hey, are you registered to vote? I'm like, yeah. Like, do you have your voter card? I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember ever having it. They're like, well, this is an election where various groups might try to be very restrictive, so you should get your card. I'm like, eh, let's just renew it. So I gave them my address, which my voting address was always at my college, so I had to stay in Pittsburgh to vote. But I figured, well, might as well give them my home address, which was still at my parents'. So now I have to go, and then I moved. So now I have to go back home to vote, like after, I think, essentially 8 years of voting in Pittsburgh for every election, whether it's presidential or otherwise. As soon as I moved to Pittsburgh, I changed my address back to my home. So now I still have to drive the same amount of time. So don't be dumb like me. But I think it's just the election we have in a couple weeks, and then there's going to be campaigning. But again, I don't know why people are campaigning at this point. I do know that Jon Bon Jovi is doing a concert for Hillary Clinton in Pittsburgh, and that seems bizarre. I have no idea who that's for, but... So what has it been like... So if you haven't noticed, we don't really have like a formal interview format. So this is kind of coming up, but what's it like watching the U.S. political process from Canada?
From the safe haven of.
it's been really interesting. is probably the most polite way to put it.
No need to be polite, because I don't think anyone down here is.
What's kind of mind-blowing to me is how long your election cycles are. Like, I feel like this has been going on for every a long time.
Or, like, every time they're longer. Like, I feel like we started worrying about this in, like, 2014.
Yeah, actually, this seems really long. That's something that I don't quite understand either, is that I'm like, we all vote in November, so our candidates have been running since whenever. And the only reason that it should have really been delayed was, like, are the Democrats going to run Hillary or Bernie? Are the Republicans going to run Trump or somebody else? And as soon as they said, no, it's Trump and Hillary, and then some other third and fourth and fifth party people were picked, it's like, we could just probably vote now, because I can't imagine anyone who's been like, well, I wasn't for Trump or Hillary back in January, but these last few months have really changed my mind. I'm pretty sure these lines are firmly drawn in the sand.
Yeah. It's been kind of interesting to see, like, how, like, set on a particular candidate some people are. Like, they will do anything to, like, defend who they're going to vote for, even if they're, like, you know, the shittiest person ever.
I think we've kind of gotten to this weird place in America where a lot's coming to light. First off, I don't know if anyone votes for political affiliation, in the sense that I think everyone's voting on morals, which is good and bad to some degree. Some people have better and worse morals. Some people have more wild ones. But you're really starting to see from privileged and marginalized groups what's really important to everybody. So a lot of people that I can see, there's a lot of people that are voting for Hillary Clinton because, like, hey, I agree with what she does. There's some people voting for her because she's a woman. There's some people that are always Democrat. There's a whole host of things. But there's some people that are like, I really cannot let Trump get in because he's a racist, right? Mm-hmm. Now, anybody I've said that to, I've not heard anyone discredit the fact that Donald Trump was a racist. They've said, well, this about Hillary or Trump's going to do this. I'm like, but I'm black in a country that's not majority black, so I'd kind of prefer not to have a racist leading our country. Like, I can't imagine how good his political policies would have to be for me to say, I don't care that he's a racist. Spoiler alert, they'd have to be pretty much perfect. And
it's hard to have perfect political policies when you, like, are a racist.
Well, there's that too. But it's like, I'm looking at it and I don't even see it being perfect for white people. Like, even if you're, like, a racist, I don't see how either of these candidates are going to, like, really service you the way that would be great. And that's where America is right now. So do you guys have, like, a more streamlined process up in Canada?
I don't know if there will be any Canadian listeners, but they can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that our election period is, like, 2 months maximum.
That sounds glorious.
It's like a really condensed kind of thing. It's I think they're only allowed to do a certain amount of campaigning, a certain amount of definitely fundraising. They're not allowed to do, like, a super, like, huge amount of money. I think everybody votes on the same day. And then so we have a prime minister. You don't vote for the prime minister in your riding. You vote for the representative in your riding. So you vote for them. And then whatever party they're affiliated with gets that vote.
Okay.
A little different, yeah.
And then the prime minister is the one whose party, like, the leader of the party.
Yep, yeah.
Who wins. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems a little bit more, that seems streamlined and kind of more to the point. Seems like that's a good way to get things done. Because, like, we'll vote, like, president's going to be, in the last term, a Democrat. And then everybody that's in the next level is Republican. So they're just stopping each other.
Yeah.
I guess the point is to stop people from going wild and just doing crazy things. Which it does, but it also stops good things happening.
Yeah, the kind of nice thing is that this election, it seemed like, so we kind of have, like, five different parties, but there's three main ones. So the Liberals, they got the majority, and then I think Conservatives lost a bunch of their seats, and now it's the Democrats and the Liberals that kind of have similar policies that are kind of working together now. There isn't like a it's not a minority government, it's a majority government, so the Liberals can do a lot more instead of being blocked by the Conservatives at every turn.
That must be nice.
Wait, so you have like a Democratic Party and a Liberal Party that are separate?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
They don't have like the nonsense two-party system.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There's, what do we got? Conservatives, the Liberals, and then the New Democrats. And then there's the Green Party, which doesn't get a lot of votes, but
they're... We have that in common.
Yeah, but their leader is, she's like, you know, she's awesome. And then there's one party that kind of just represents Quebec. So they're the Bloc Québécois, and they like, they only get votes in Quebec. And and that's it. I think there's a couple other ones, but they don't really... you know, get enough votes to get a seat at all, so.
That's funny today, because we were talking in a group chat about there's one guy who's got the, like, major support with the Mormon voting bloc in Utah.
Oh.
And he has, like, been outpolling Trump and Hillary in Utah, and in, like, a 1% chance of him getting enough votes in Utah, it could, like, completely... overturn the entire presidential election process in the U.S.
Wow.
Based on like the way votes are counted, I guess. The Electoral College is very complicated, and I only pretend to understand it, so I won't attempt to explain it. But
yeah, to run it down shortly, like each state, like whatever party they go to, you get a certain amount of points for that party, rather than counting the votes outright.
Yeah, so instead of counting the popular vote, like, whoever wins a state gets all of the points for that state.
Interesting.
Which, that's only failed once, though, in recent, like, that was only, like, I think one of George Bush's elections did he lose the popular vote and win the electoral.
Yeah, that was the 2000 vote, I think.
But everybody else, I think, wins both the popular and electoral, so it's kind of, like, redundant.
But I think it's a way to give states that have a lot of, because I think it's a way to balance out, I guess, population against, like, space, I think. Mm. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from.
Listeners.
It's kind of weird. Just please let us know. Like, I don't feel like Googling it, so please at me at Brother Dom on Twitter.
Please tell me where the
Electoral College came from.
I think it was Thomas Jefferson. Let's blame it on him.
Ah, that guy.
He didn't trust the common people to... make a decision based on a popular vote.
My only appreciation for Jefferson comes from the musical. So, like...
like from Hamilton?
Yeah.
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 And I don't want to be mad at Daveed Diggs. Because A, great rapper. B, good-looking dude. And C, come on. You see the acting? Come on. Have you listened to any Hamilton, Riley?
I have, yeah.
Did you love it?
I did.
Is it weird as a non-American to listen to it? Like, how much of that... I don't know. Like,
I don't think I... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, because I don't know how much of, like, American founding father history one grows up on in Canada.
Not much. Not a lot. Yeah, I didn't really know... I didn't even know about Hamilton, to be honest.
I don't think anyone in America did either. That's why, like, yeah. People knew he was on the $10 bill, and that was about it.
Oh, okay.
So
Hamilton's history goes, like, being on the 10, like, that's the dude that got shot, right? That's his whole legacy, ironically. So yeah, it's definitely is kind of a running theme in our show as well.
What, liking Hamilton?
Yeah.
It's like, Dom likes Sonic and Overwatch, Stephanie talks about comic books. We both love Hamilton.
Like... yes, that's our best cosplay to date, I'd like to say.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. They're really good.
Oh, thank you.
Stephanie's such a good seamstress, and I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I don't care what the haters say. I'm a great model. So was rocking that jacket. You gotta live it. You can't just wear it, you know? Anybody can put a jacket on, but it takes a true professional to pull the jacket off. Quote me on that. So, how you feeling today, Riley? How you feeling through this chat so far?
Great. Having a great time.
That's good to hear. I feel like we haven't done it a while, Steph. I feel like we haven't done a question section in a while, or maybe we've just been backlogged in a weird way. Do you feel like running some questions?
I would love to ask some questions. Are you up for some questions, Riley?
Yeah, hit me.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right, so I usually start, tradition. So I'm going to cut Dom off and and dive right in. My favorite question, if you could cross over any two anythings, media history, books, movies, games, anything, pick two, what kind of what crossover would you like to see? Right? I would call the big gun on the first one.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so like anything with anything.
Yep.
Yep.
Gosh, a lot of things kind of already are like crossover, like books to movies and
yeah, pretty much mashing any two things together.
That would be an interesting crossover. It'll give you some time to think while I just kind of scribble here, but thinking about it, like the book cast of something crossed over with the movie cast of something, like especially in the case of like a movie that wasn't a very faithful adaptation. Like
whatever you mean.
Yeah, and like you know, like an excellent movie, like the Avatar: The Last Airbender movie, or the Percy Jackson movie. Yeah.
I think so. One of the comics that I keep up on regularly is the new Thor. So I think I would like to see, it'll never happen, but I would love to see a movie with her.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yep.
That would be.
Huge pipe dream.
You know, I feel like if Marvel keeps making movies long enough, I don't know what their long-term goal is, but there's going to be a point where Chris Hemsworth's like, I'm done. And they're like, well, we still have another Thor movie. He's like, you have another Thor. It's not me.
Just pass the hammer
Who
down.
Would you, if you had a, just rolling off of that question, if you could cast anyone as Jane Foster Thor, who would you?
It's hard to not see her as Natalie Portman, just from...
From being...
Yeah, I would love for them to, like, turn it around and have her be a woman of color instead.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
It would explode everything.
Like, the yeah, it definitely would.
That would be amazing.
Like, but just imagine, like, Ruth Negga, for example, as...
As
like
Lady Thor,
Frank. Like, that'd be so good.
That would be amazing. I'll
look that up.
They've done that with Valkyrie in the next Thor movie. Valkyrie's...
Oh, yeah.
She's, like, in the comic books, she's, like, super blonde and Viking-y, and in the movie she's being played by Tessa Thompson, who's black, so...
Oh, man, yeah, she would work. That would be such good representation to actually have, you know, people of color in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
If you could mash any property up with Thor, what would it be?
I think I would like to see, like, maybe, like, a BioWare game of some kind, I think would be cool.
That could work out. That'd be cool. Thor and the Avengers go to... The Mass Effect land, or Dragon Age.
Actually, yeah, that could work, because they've
like
got their Rainbow Bridge and
space
stuff,
space anyway,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Vikings in space, so...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Vikings
I like it.
In space.
Space, space, space.
So we have some other questions. Now it's up to me. Now I'm going to let you guys down. I'm so sorry. Okay. Have you ever seen Pacific Rim before?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how people are drift compatible. Mm-hmm. If you could pick a character from fiction, who would you be drift compatible with?
These are hard.
We like to be fun. It's better than asking, like, trivia and trying to be gatekeepy, so we're like, hey, let's make some stuff up.
It's fair. Who would I be drug compatible with? I would go with Hermione Granger.
Solid choice.
Excellent decision.
I think we've heard that. Yeah, we've heard that answer before. I think she's a good co-pilot. Pilot.
Oh yeah. Navy rider. She's smarter than I am, so it would balance out.
I wouldn't take that the wrong way. I think she's smarter than mostly everyone.
True. True.
It's like Lunella Lafayette, Tony Stark, Reed Richards, I guess, and then Hermione Granger. I'm gonna put her up there.
You know, Hermione Granger, the Marvel superhero.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Piloting a Jaeger, fighting kaiju.
Look, I've seen Brave. I know all about Hermione Granger. Oh, man, that's the super crossover right there. Cool, Steph, you're up.
Okay, is there anything particular that you like to do, that like you go to whenever you're feeling down? A game or a book or a TV show or an animal or...
When I'm not feeling the greatest, I usually, my kind of standby for books is the Harry Potter series, and I'll like put a blanket on, put my hoodie on, put my hood up, and I'll just like sit on the couch and I'll just read all day.
Very nice.
Very therapeutic.
Yep.
Hoodie Potter.
Hoodie Potter.
And let's kick it off with one last one. Who would you want to play you in a show or movie? And just to get the creative juices going, I tend to go with Donald Glover as my celebrity actor.
Good choice, good choice. I think I would go with maybe... I'm trying to think of somebody who's, like, cooler than I am. There's a lot of them, but I'm like, I would say maybe Brie Larson.
Oh, she's cool.
Cool. Captain Marvel,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Damn right. I'm so excited.
I know. She was... Hold on. Gotta go to Google.
Quick, Google it.
She was in Scott Pilgrim, but...
She was?
Yeah, she was Envy Adams.
No way!
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think she was Envy. Do-do-do. We can figure it out real easy, so no worries. Yeah, she was Envy Adams.
Sweet.
She did an amazing job.
I learned a thing.
And 21 Jump Street, so like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, oh, and she's in Community. So you know.
Oh.
Yes. I literally had no idea of any of that. Like,
my mind is blown. Knows it. Oh, and also, yes, like you said, Captain Marvel.
Like, Room is the only thing that I've ever heard of her being in recent memory. That's because she won the freaking Oscar for
it.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that.
She's in a good bit of stuff, so, I mean, solid actress. Farce of the Penguins. What else could you ask for?
Farce of the Penguins?
Is that a parody movie?
Yeah.
Presumably?
Yeah, it's a parody movie. So, she's in a good bit of stuff, but yes, Brie Larson was Envy Adams, you know, one of the greatest characters written. So, what's the questions segment? Do you feel pretty fulfilled?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. Do you have any questions for us? This is your chance to be part of the character reveal history, because we might put your question on the board.
I don't know.
Hey, there's no pressure. We're just throwing the option out there, you know?
Yeah,
Gotta be a welcoming guest, you know?
Maybe I'll think of one and hit you guys on Twitter or something.
Feel free to.
We would love that.
Yeah, did you have a decent time chatting with us? We hope it was fun.
I did, yeah. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Yeah, we like to invite people in the house, you know, show them around, have some snacks, have a drink or two if that's your thing. That's good. So... say you're a listener of Character Reveal, when you heard Riley speak, you're like, man, Riley's pretty cool. Where would they find you on the internet and social media, if you're willing to share that?
Yeah, the easiest place to find me or to get in contact with me is on Twitter. I'm on there a lot. So my handle there is Kaleri. It's K-A-L-E-R-I with an underscore. And then I guess you could also tweet at the Media Mavens account as well, because I monitor that like with Pam too. So
nice. Cool. And on your handle is the underscore before or after?
At the end.
Okay, excellent. Very nice. Underscores are the saving grace of so many.
Yep.
Great. So if you wanted to hear more from us, Steph, do you want to take it or do you want me to take it?
I got this.
Cool. So yes, listen to Steph if you want to find us other places.
So if you want to find us on the Twitters, you can find us at CharacterRev, character R-E-V, so two R's in the middle. You can follow us on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal. You can follow us on your podcast network of choice, sans iTunes, because we're still working on that. Or just go to characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find me on Tumblr at The Snow Queer, at Captain Steph on Twitter, and you can find Dom at Brother Dom pretty much anywhere. And then you can read words that the two of us have written, if you want to do that thing, by going to ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com, which is Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog, where we write cool intersectional feminist stuff about pop culture.
Yep. And if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I really, really want to listen to this podcast, but I use iTunes, never fear, listeners. You can get our RSS feed from the Simplecast site and kick that in there and it will get it for you every week. So if you have an iPhone, I understand that you would. It's a nice phone. You can still listen to our podcast, so never fear. It'll be there. Other than that, I want to extend some gratitude to our guest. Riley, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure thing.
It's been fun.
Very fun.
Cool. And we'll have to chat with you again sometime. It's been really good. We always get pretty comfortable with a guest towards the end, but, you know, such is the way it rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, tune in every week because we have something for you all the time. So until next time, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.